radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The Astros are again struggling against the St. Louis Cardinals. But the Houston Rockets have not struggled for quite some time, and they will tip off their first playoff series of the Ime Udoka era on Sunday night at 8:30 against the Golden State Warriors, who beat the Memphis Grizzlies last night in the play-in game, the 7-8 game, 121-116. Really impressive performances by Jimmy Butler, who is very good at creating free throws for himself. He was 12 of 18 from the line. He had 38 points total. Steph Curry had 37 points. He hit two clutch threes late. You know he's going to do that even if it's not his best night shooting before that happens. They've still got some good players. Draymond still plays some good defense, but it is a rather different Warriors team. I do think the Warriors are still the Rockets' big brother. This series could theoretically change that. I think the Rockets have a good chance. If you're asking me to pick the Rockets, even though they are underdogs in game one, 1.5-point underdogs at home, and even though they are not favored to win the series, the Warriors minus 200 favored to win. They're probably hoping people put money on Golden State or throw money against Golden State because of the way things have gone this year. But I do have some questions about this Rockets team and their ability to beat the Warriors because offensively, they're inconsistent. They have long stretches where all of a sudden bleep hits the fan and they look not quite Cougs-esque, but close to. I mean, I love the way the Rockets play. I love the way the Cougs play. But every now and then, the Cougs have their moments where they look like a bunch of college-aged kids that are trying to figure out how to make it work. The Rockets have enough players offensively with the skills where you wouldn't think that would be an issue as much as it is. But no, it is. Jalen Green has his moments where you're like, what the hell is going on, dude? Alperen Şengün has those moments too. Those are your two best offensive players. So when you have a team in Golden State that's so good defensively, going up against a Rockets team that's so good defensively, you really got to wonder, okay, who's going to be able to muster up enough points? Obviously, the Rockets completely snuffed out Golden State the last time these two teams played. Season series this year, Warriors lead at 3-2. But I have just as many questions about the Rockets' ability to score against a Warriors defense that will be going up against players who just aren't as skilled as Steph Curry can be, one of the best players ever, and Jimmy Butler can be as well.
Yeah, I mean, anytime. And this is less true now in, like, the current day NBA. But generally, you don't want to be the team that doesn't have the best player in a playoff series.
Right.
Especially when it's not particularly close like it is with Steph Curry versus whoever the best player on the Rockets. Whoever you want to say the best player on the Rockets is. Whether it's Şengün because he made the All-Star team. Whether it's Amen Thompson because you might be voting him for a defensive player of the year. At the very least, he's going to be probably all defensive first team. Or if you want to say it's Jalen Green, just because he's a perimeter threat and one that no one else on the Rockets is really close to being that level of perimeter threat. No matter who you pick, that's still a big gap between that guy and Steph Curry.
For sure.
And generally, when these things bog down, you want to have the best guy on the court. Now, the Grizzlies have that, and they got very close to beating this Warriors team in a one-game winner-take-all type scenario. So I think, I think you would agree, probably going to be a long series.
Six or seven.
Rockets have a very good chance. It's just we haven't seen these guys in the playoffs before, and we'll see.
I think it's going to be big for them to finally just get a feel for what this is, and you hope the moment's not too big for anybody. There's going to be a lot of palpitations for some of these young guys, because, I mean, it's not just that you're in the playoffs. You're in the playoffs against a Golden State team, where things got a little brouhaha, Donnybrook-laden, you know?
Yeah.
The emotions, I think, are going to be high from that perspective. And on top of that, I think just you'll have jitters. It's natural to have jitters against a team that has all these guys. Even if they're not the same player they used to be, it's still Steph Curry. It's still Draymond Green. some of these players grew up watching those two.
That's
which
what
is so weird to think of, but basketball players are so young.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that these guys, like their formative basketball watching years, these guys were holding the trophy more often than not at the end of the season. So even though they don't carry in the baggage of the 2010s, and especially the late 2010s, Harden, Rockets versus the Warriors, and they, you know, chances are they weren't Rockets fans, no matter what they say now. They probably weren't growing up Rockets fans. And they don't have that kind of baggage that the fans have, but they will have different emotional baggage that, hey, these guys, I remember when I was in high school and these guys went 73-9 in the regular season.
Yeah.
And they won three championships in 4 years. Like, hey, I remember that. And so that's going to be something that the Rockets will also have to get over. But like we said, this Rockets team is, as a group, we would say, pretty mentally tough, especially for the age of most of these guys. It's just that in the playoffs, like, it's the ultimate, like, the lights are just brighter, and there's nowhere to hide. You're in the spotlight, and we'll see kind of who rises to the occasion and who I don't know if I would – I don't know if I think there's anyone that's like, oh, no, the moment might be too big for this person. If anything, it's just like they're so psyched up that they might psych themselves out, really.
Right. I'm with you there. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Hopefully not.
You've seen Breaking Bad, right, Sean?
Yes.
I've seen the show 7 to 8 times to the point where I remember very specific quotes from the show that not many other people do. There is a scene where Walt is driving with Walt Jr., his son, who has cerebral palsy. Flynn, he has called it certain moments in the show, when he's going through a phase where he's embarrassed by his father having been naked in the midst of a fugue state, which he used as a cover for going out in the desert in an RV to cook a ton of meth with no explanation as to why he was taken by Tuco Salamanca. Again, I could go all day. I'm just going to try to give you the story here. Yeah. This one little quote. Walt has left the home, and he is trying to make his son happy. So they go to a car dealership, and Walt, who's got all this meth money now, even though he's not living with Skyler and Walter Jr. anymore, offers to buy him a car. Walt Jr. says, if you're going to buy me off, buy me off. And I got to say, unlike the Houston Texans, who I have spent far too many a Sunday covering, considering the lack of deep playoff runs that they've had. And unlike the Houston Astros, who I have been their biggest cheerleader during the most difficult times that this team has faced in the playoffs, there's no denying that. No one has ever been a leader in the vanguard quite like me. You would think that they would, I don't know, have a little respect. Clearly, the last 2 years have proven that they have very little to none for me. And it does sometimes affect my mood when I'm watching this team and how I feel about their struggles at the plate. But unlike those two teams, despite constant criticism by me over years and years and years, just completely hating the way that they played basketball for the entirety of the James Harden era, I want to give the Houston Rockets a shake of the hand because they tried to buy me off. And if you're going to buy me off, a lifelong Celtics fan who roots for the Boston Celtics, the defending NBA champions, still, this is the way to do it. These guys sent me a customized jersey. Awesome. I like this team as it is. I like the way that they play. I can't jump on this bandwagon quite yet, but I mean, the ground is entirely paved for me to perhaps disown my hometown team. Like, there is a road. There is an avenue here. It would involve the Celtics getting swept by the Magic, for sure.
I was going to say, it would involve there's a problem here, and it's that.
If the Celtics completely crap their pants in the playoffs, am I above? Am I above this? Am I above this?
If the Rockets are playing a
this
playoff game after the Celtics have been eliminated, like, this 100% this Rockets Paul will be a thing.
They've been doing this, by the way, to everybody in town. So I'm just impressed that they're doing this for every single person.
Yeah.
I never got a H-Town Blue jersey from the Texans.
No.
I never got. If you're going to buy me off, buy me off. How about that? Houston Rockets.
I know.
Honestly, I want to take a bribe. I've always wanted to be bribed. Think of above taking a bribe? No, I'm not above taking a bribe. Bribe my ass. Sean, do you have a jersey too?
They bought me off.
Oh, let's go.
That's how committed to this they are. Let me turn to the camera.
If you're watching on YouTube or you're watching on Twitch, yeah, they gave us, Sean and I, they gave us customized jerseys.
Like I just got drafted. Let me hold it up next.
Well, I just got bribed, okay? And you know what? I like it.
And
they gave me some chocolate M&Ms, like some Rockets logo M&Ms.
Yeah.
And a t-shirt too. And the t-shirt's not bad. And guess what? This is the best part. This is the most important part. And a lot of people are going to think this is kind of crazy. No, here's the thing. You go to a lot of venues in town, when they give out the free t-shirts and they give out the free jerseys, there's a problem. There's a problem for me, someone who is hot, someone who's in shape, you know? I got nice boobs and a nice donk to boot, but I also can kind of see my abs at times, depending on how little I've been drinking in the last 6 days, affecting it so much. They actually gave me a properly sized jersey. It's not an extra large.
Oh, wow.
It's a large. Which apparently I have grown into based off of the people making comments about how tight my shirt was at the wedding I was at this past weekend. Hell to the yes. It's a large jersey. They don't think I'm a fatty boom batty like many of the folks who are on the air in this town. Huzzah. I love that I am being bribed by the Houston Rockets. And they're going to say, we're not bribing you. We just appreciate your support.
Appreciate the cover.
I have not been to a game this year. I feel bad now. I feel bad. So I appreciate the attempt to buy me off. And you know what? Like, if the Rockets blow it, oh, yeah. Be right there. Excuse me, not the Rockets blow it. If the Celtics blow it, my bad. If the Celtics blow it, I'll jump on the bandwagon. I've done it before. Think I care? I can't be bought off. I've always wanted to be bought off. Buy me off. Okay? That's all. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Speaking of those Texans who have never tried to buy me off, even though I, you know, worked for them, for God's sake. Maybe that's why. They know that they have me. They're like, Paul with the Texans, he's like a little North Korean citizen. Yeah, he doesn't know any better.
He's an employee. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's why. But speaking of them, we're going to continue our series taking a look at possible players that the Houston Texans could draft. Yesterday we talked about guards. It does seem like there are two guard targets that they want. Also, it's time to look at the wide receivers. Paul Gallant Show. I know a lot of people want them. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 with Sean Mapes behind the glass. Stick around.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD. 97.9 HD2. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
So I've heard that. The other one I would say is the Houston Texans, it's going to be the law firm of Booker or Banks. Like, they're drafting an offensive lineman between those two guys, whoever's there.
I like that. That's Daniel Jeremiah, who many consider to be the best NFL draft expert. Some consider it to be Lance Zierlein. Both of them work for the NFL Network. Todd McShay, he was on a podcast, Jeremiah, with McShay and Ryan Russillo, and that's where he said, hey, look, the Texans are looking at the offensive line with their pick at 25 overall. Which ones will they take? Per Daniel Jeremiah, who said it in passing really quickly, just so that you're aware of who those people are. Because like most people, I am even a bit of a draft casual, you know. I believe we in this industry should admit that we don't know what we don't know. But he's looking at Tyler Booker out of Alabama, or is Banks from Alabama as well?
Texas.
First name?
Kelvin.
Kelvin Banks. Okay. So Kelvin Banks out of Texas, Tyler Booker out of Alabama.
Yes.
I'll say this about Tyler Booker. Texans love Alabama, guys. Also,
that definitely helps.
Also, yesterday, Tyler Booker made our big board. We put together a big board. For those who don't know, is this big board based off of tape study, film study, football IQ? No. It's based entirely off of Lance Zierlein's scouting profiles on NFL.com. Specifically, the unintentionally erotic language that he sometimes uses to talk about these players. So yesterday we put five offensive linemen on the board. Donovan Jackson out of Ohio State, a guard. Tyler Booker, a guard from Bama, who you just heard about. Tate Ratledge, a mulleted guard from Georgia. We also put on Jonah Savainea from Arizona on the board and Joe Huber from Wisconsin on the board. Savainea, who's a later round prospect, is from Samoa. That's why we put him on. Whatever. Yeah, we're stereotyping. And Joe Huber played at Wisconsin. We are stereotyping. So now let's take a look at wide receivers. Hit it.
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on CJ Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. The power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
A little stiff in the hips. Ooh, they fall. They fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
We're now looking at wide receivers for the Houston Texans. So assuming there's no gas mask bong video that's about to be posted featuring Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter is going to be gone within the first 2 to 3 picks of the NFL draft. He will be gone. The Browns are supposedly the favorites to pick him. Cam Ward's supposed to go first overall. But say Travis Hunter falls because of something bad that happens, and the Texans still consider him to be Texans worthy. There's a lot going on in Lance Zierlein's unintentionally erotic draft profile at NFL.com about Hunter. Travis Hunter has ball skills.
Okay.
It helps him shine on both sides of the ball. He has the burst to uncover over 3 levels. Whoa. That's a lot of levels to burst over.
Third one.
Great question. Ball hawking. The guy likes balls, okay? He's leggy.
All over balls.
And while he lacks ideal frame size, he grabs balls with sudden hands and good extension.
Oh.
He does have to prove he can compete against higher weight classes.
It's not the worst thing.
We got to put Travis Hunter on the board because it's Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter could do a lot of things, and I'd still think about him even if he fell all the way to the back of the first round, including if he was in jail.
I was going to say, like the gas mask bong, he probably still goes number 2. Like, I don't know what would have to happen.
Because it's Boulder, right? You're assuming he's probably partaking a little bit of Boulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering what it would take to make him fall. In fact, I don't really want to imagine what it would take.
No, because it gets really dark.
It does get really, really dark. Up next, prospect number 2 at wide receiver, Luther Burden III out of Missouri. That's a good name for a receiver. He has exciting ball skills. He operates with sudden, well-timed hands, but he needs to work back to prevent being contested. Well, hey, he listens as far as that last one
there
goes.
There you go. Okay.
But I'm not excited about Luther Burden III. I imagine he too will likely be gone by the time the Texans pick at 25th overall. A lot of these receivers, you don't really 100% know, but per Lance Zierlein, he is the second highest graded wide receiver going into this year's draft. And that's the order we're going in, the order in which Lance has ranked these on I think it's a 10-point scale.
It is a numbered scale. I forgot what the scale was, but the numbers correlate to, like, you know, project versus immediate starter versus immediate star, that kind of thing.
Number 3, Matthew Golden, Texas, who wants to be picked by the Texans based off of everything that we have seen from him on social media.
He might be too good to get picked by the Texans.
Probably is, especially if they're thinking offensive line in the first round. Again, gas mask Bong. Maybe this is the kind of player.
Yeah, now that's we can probably drop a couple picks.
Artificial intelligence is pretty strong these days.
Or Matthew Golden, have some fun.
Have some fun, Matthew. Not too much fun.
I mean,
not DUI fun, but gas mask Bong
fun. Tunsil's probably still in town. You can use his.
John Morant waving a gun around on Instagram Live.
Different kind of fun.
Okay, that's too much. That's a little dangerous. Matthew Golden per Lance Zierlein as we continue our unintentionally erotic big board based off of Lance Zierlein draft profiles is a willing participant in traffic. That sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Took command of contested catches with better physicality and catch strength.
Okay.
He's also got twitchy pluck and tuck. Especially with this song on the background. Yeah. Goodbye Horses from Silence of the Lambs.
I'm a pretty wide receiver. Yeah, I'm in. Pluck and tuck got me.
You're in? Okay.
That got me.
Pluck and tuck got you. Also, he wants to be here, yeah. So I think we got to put him on the board. All right, so Travis Hunter and Matthew Golden on the board. Prospect 4, Tetairoa McMillan, a wide receiver from Arizona. He has ball skills to create big wins deep. Has a feel for uncovering underneath. Whoa! Oh. And can play over the top?
There we go!
Damn!
Full package.
More ball skill talk. Elite ball skills set him apart. And a clever hand fighter. Yeah, he's done.
He might be one.
He sounds better than Hunter and Golden. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Jack Beck, TCU. Prospect number 5 at wide receiver that we are gauging entirely based off of erotic language from Lance Zierlein and draft prospects.
A snickering at what Lance wrote.
At NFL.com, by the way, a family website.
Roger Goodell personally lets the smut on his website.
This is very smutty. Jack Beck stands out as a box checker.
I mean, come on. Come on, Lance.
It's 2025. You got to be one. Big, strong receiver, outstanding ball skills, has a rebounder's feel for owning catch space once he gains top positioning. Hands are sticky and strong.
Okay. Jack, why are your hands sticky?
I don't know. This guy sounds like a freak.
I mean, he's in.
Ball skills create a buzzy talking point. What? Pins defender. And battles to maintain top position.
I mean, congrats.
I think he's overtaken Tetairoa. He's on.
Yes. I didn't think I needed to. Yes, he's in and he might be one. Him and McMillan, we can debate.
Jaden Higgins, Iowa State, next up. Is he on the board or not? Based off of unintentionally erotic language written by Lance Zierlein at NFL.com and these draft profiles. Outstanding ball skills. Big-bodied wideout with a wingspan over 6'7". Well, you know what they say about big wingspan. Effective use of size to physically separate.
I guess.
Unable to sink hips.
Oh.
Out. You got to sink your hips.
Got to. I need good hips from a receiver.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on this one. Up next, Jalen Royals. Might lack the desired explosiveness, but he makes up for it with his body control and feel for the game. That's what they say about a lot of people who perhaps don't exactly have...
It's about the motion in the ocean. That's what Royals are saying.
Exactly. You know what? That means he works hard.
Yeah.
Excellent as a zone beater. I don't know why that's funny. Smooth insertion of wrinkles and leverage into his routes can be hard to bring down by the first tackler. All right. I'm in on Jalen Royals.
Yeah. He's in. Not top tier, but he's in there.
He's in, definitely. Isaiah Bond, not Texans worthy, so he's off.
Yeah.
I think with this incident that he's dealing with right before the draft, he might be off. We'll see. Allowing him to make magic with the ball in his hands. Okay. He makes magic with the ball in his hands. That's something. He's able to eat into cushion?
Oh. Is he calling him a biter?
Got a little Marv Albert going on? almost immediately off the snap. Can be overwhelmed by size when contested.
Yeah. Out. He would have been out just by this, but yeah, not Texans worthy. Allegedly.
Allegedly, right, exactly. And one last one, Trey Harris from Ole Miss. Fast enough to win over the top. Runs by coverage with long, gliding strides. Improved against grabby coverage and downfield contact in 2024. Okay, well, how much has he improved against this downfield contact? Allows throws to get on top of him, leading to drops. Oh, okay, that's an actual football term. Out. So, here's who we're putting on our big board. Entirely based off of unintentionally erotic language written by Lance Zierlein as he writes up draft profiles for NFL.com. Travis Hunter, Matthew Golden from Texas, Ted Arroyo McMillan from Arizona, who might be our best guy, Jack Beck from TCU, who also might be our best guy.
Those McMillan and Beck are top two.
And Jalen Royals from Utah State. 1A, 1B. So there you go, guys.
Yeah.
That's the wide receiver position. You got thoughts, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 281, Paul, I bet your Grindr profile says you have elite ball skills. Well, I'm not going to kiss and tell about the dating apps I may be on, but I would hope so. I would hope so. You know? Got a set of clackers. Leads to mansplaining. Spreading? Yeah, manspreading, not mansplaining. Something I used to get in trouble for all the time. Like, Paul, why are you manspreading? I can't help it. I'm being persecuted. I can't help what I was born with. I know people do, you know, the breast reductions. Should I do ball reduction? Just ask you the question. Am I going to get in more trouble for this?
Let's go to break.
What I got caught on the hot mic. All right, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hope you enjoyed that last segment. We have done guards and we have done wide receivers. Put them on a big board for the Houston Texans as we get closer and closer to the draft, nearly a week away, using not film, using only NFL.com draft profiles written by Lance Zierlein that just happened to have a lot of unintentionally erotic language. I will say this about the wide receivers. There was less unintentionally erotic language with them than there was with the offensive linemen, with the guards that we worked with yesterday, Sean.
Yeah. I was talking to Brian about that, where we really started off with the premium stuff. And I think that in general Lance is more erotic with the offensive line and defensive line, and gets less erotic the farther away from that you get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that says something about Lance or those positions.
Lance may be turned on by.
Yeah, maybe we know Lance's type, and it's
we might
300-pound men from Alabama.
SEC guy. He's got to get off to something, you would think. I doubt he's getting laid. Anyway, we have a couple of questions really quickly before we get to Washed Watch Wednesday. Have we discussed the defensive line yet? No, we will. I think we planned on doing that Monday.
Yeah, coming soon. They're on the list.
Tomorrow we're doing tackle.
Yeah, tackle. I forgot what Friday. Maybe Friday's D-line. I don't know.
Friday could be D-line. Friday. Here's what we know we are going to do. There will be a defensive line. There will be tight end. There will be tackle.
And running back.
Running back. So that's 4 days left. Probably linebacker too. Coverage guy.
Yeah.
just to make it five so that we can get all the way to the
finish line.
Because
we have until Thursday's show.
Exactly. So there you go. There you go. More comments. Texture says, I hate it when wide receivers muff a punt. Yep.
Yeah.
But, hey, based off of that, these guys aren't
a lot of
punt
great,
muffers.
A lot of great hands in this year's draft.
Does sound
at least off the top guys from Lance.
From the 832, if they get Luther Burden, do you think they move on from Tank Dell? They're not moving on from Tank Dell on this rookie contract.
No.
But I do not know that Tank Dell will ever play again, and it sucks. I feel for him. That's just brutal luck to have all of that happen on one play. So we wish him the best. Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. A real quick edition of Washed Watch Wednesday.
We all know something or someone that's washed.
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
From dating apps.
Swipe, 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 swipe.
To Skip Bayless.
It's my turn!
To Scott Boras. It's time to find out who's on Washed Watch on the Paul Gallant Show.
While we're talking about the Houston Texans and the draft, two guys who are definitely washed, who were second-round picks of the Bill O'Brien era, Mack Sharping, pick 55 in 2019. Ross Blacklock, pick 40 in 2020. Mack Sharping, for those who didn't know, was an offensive lineman at Northern Illinois, and Ross Blacklock, a defensive lineman at Texas. Those guys are in the news. Sharping, I didn't know he was still in the league, so shout out to him. The Steelers re-signed him, but he has barely played over the course of his NFL career. Texans really have a pretty rough track record in the second round, if you think about it, at least pre-Nick Caserio. Here's where he has played. Second round pick by the Texans. He played 35 starts in 50 games with Houston, but he did not go all the way through his rookie contract. Cincinnati for 34 games in 2022, only three starts, and he has been with the, over the last year, Commanders and Steelers. Meanwhile, Ross Blacklock, who I bet's done, was released by the New York Giants. Man, you're getting released by the Giants? Not a good sign. Ross Blacklock's career has really been a disappointment. 29 games for the Texans his first 2 years. Traded to the Vikings in 2022. 2023, he played for the Jaguars, Colts, and Titans. Wow, the entire AFC South thinks you blow. And he was on the Giants practice squad last December. So, two former Texans second-round picks. They're sort of hanging around the NFL, but the NFL stands for not for long, and those guys were massive disappointments.
And Ross Blacklock picked one pick ahead of Jonathan Taylor, Indianapolis Colts running back.
That's why I
had to remember which awesome running back it was that he was picked one pick ahead of. But yeah, 40th pick in the draft, Ross Blacklock, 41st, Jonathan Taylor.
Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey says, never heard of those two guys. Well, when your boy's job was covering the Texans because of the Texans, we did a lot of that.
No, I remember Sharping and Blacklock too, so it's not good when someone can't remember the names of fairly recent second round draft picks.
Definitely not.
Probably should fire the GM. Oh, and they did.
They did. Washed Watch continues. The Astros lineup, four hits today and a 4-1 loss to the Cardinals. They lose 2 of 3 and are now 8-10 before they come back this weekend. I believe I'm going to Friday's game. We shall see. But this weekend, the Astros, they host the Padres. San Diego Padres, who are very good at pitching. So, good luck. Josh Reddick, he's looking washed. I say that in that Josh Reddick, when he's been on Space City Home Network of late, and perhaps there have been some, no water situations, but Josh Reddick, when I saw him on Space City Home Network last night for the Astros postgame show, looked like he had just jumped out of the shower. His hair was wet. It was completely wet. So there you go. Who else is washed? Retired numbers, are they washed? Colorado retired both Travis Hunter, which makes sense, but maybe wait a little bit to do it, and Shedeur Sanders numbers. They had no retired numbers ever. Not even for Cordell Stewart, who was 27-5 as a starter for Colorado. Slash was cool in college and had a couple of fun moments with the Steelers. Or the 1999 national champion quarterback, Darian Hagan, who I think had 1,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards back in the Big Eight, which wasn't done that often. Those guys should have their numbers retired, no? We're doing that with Shedeur Sanders. It's kind of weird where Deion Sanders feels so much bigger than Colorado that he's doing dictator-esque things. And look, I still like Deion. I do want this to work out. It got a little bit annoying at first, but I respect how they kind of came back last season. This is, I think, a mistake.
It's how fast they did it to me. It's that, like, he gets in, no questions asked, just like a guy who won the Heisman for you. It's like, come on. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I get that different schools have different criteria or different levels to it. Because the Tim Tebow thing, I think you brought it up yesterday, where it's like, but Florida just has a higher level. Although Tim Tebow should definitely meet that level. I don't know why Anthony Richardson got to wear number 15.
Tebow's one of the greatest players in college football history. And yeah, that drove me crazy last year seeing that. I was like, oh, the Gators made me so angry last season.
Yes, but I get he has a borderline case of getting his jersey retired, and ultimately if you want to do it, that's fine. It's just doing it at the same time as you do the way better player. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of rubs me the wrong way. Also, doing it for the spring game. I would want to be a real game.
Yeah, an actual game.
Retire my jersey during a real
that
game.
That I get to come back
game.
For. Yeah, no, good point. Also, and don't get mad at me.
I don't.
Yesterday was Jackie Robinson Day.
Oh, no. Careful.
Everyone's wearing number 42. Why did it have to be Dodger blue? Like, we have to kiss the ass of the Dodgers for being the first team to integrate. Like, F the Dodgers. I don't want any Astros colors on a Dodger uniform, and I don't want any Dodger color on an Astro uniform. It doesn't even match. Like, that, to me, everyone wears 42. It's very cool. Jackie Robinson was a brave effing dude.
Okay, pro Jackie Robinson. This is an
incredible athlete.
Okay. This anti-Dodger blue on the jersey.
Was in the military. I mean, like a lot of things. A lot of things from Jackie Robinson. Yes. I know there's some issues on the website, but yep. Jackie Robinson Day was yesterday, and I didn't like that he had to wear a Dodger version of 42. Also, there was a fun little anecdote from Julie Morales on the Astros broadcast yesterday, where apparently the movie 42, starring the late Chadwick Boseman, is Cam Smith's favorite movie. To the point where he's watched the whole movie and apparently has memorized it. Like, he has it all down by heart. I hope he doesn't have certain moments in the movie, you know, memorized by heart. Or that at least he doesn't repeat them. Because there are some very horrible things said to Jackie Robinson in this movie, which is also Disney-fied a little bit, right? I'm not sure if it's a Disney production, but this is one of your typical sports biopics. I didn't think they did a great job with the movie, to be perfectly honest.
Inspirational story. Kind
of. I think they could have done a better job with it. But, hey, okay. I mean, Harrison Ford was in it, and Chadwick Boseman was too. At some point during this anecdote, Cam Smith, I guess, had asked Julia Morales, do you remember Blu-ray discs? And the way that he said it, as if Julia wouldn't know, made me feel, as someone who just turned 36 on Friday, very old. So I feel washed, to bring it full circle. Also, one last one. Nico Imoliva. Washed. So washed. Has no market. Teams are waiting for his NIL demand to drop below $1 million. He was making $2 million with Tennessee. And I guess he has been given a do not contact tag as he officially enters the transfer portal. Sean, I do not know what that means.
Basically, you're telling teams, don't reach out to me, I'll reach out to you. A lot of times, that means you have a destination in mind, at least. But for Nico, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure how to take this. It's a weird situation, all in all. I would assume that means he has a landing spot, but you'd think it'd be announced by now.
Yeah. I don't think he's hard enough to play at Syracuse.
No?
No, I don't think he's Fran Brown worthy.
Probably not.
By the way, Syracuse lost one of our best players to the transfer portal. And I was like, damn it, wait, guys leave our program? What?
He's not Orange worthy.
No, he was really good.
No. But the fact he ran means.
Nah, I kind of get it.
You
no
want guys who want to be here, want to put on that jersey.
His name is Trebor Peña. He was a very good receiver. He had almost 1,000 yards. He was all ACC. And his name is Trebor, which I've never seen before.
Oh, a B instead of a V?
And B instead of a V, right. It's weird. Interesting. I wonder if there was like a spelling. I wonder this sometimes with names. That
I mean,
weird.
They're right next to each other on the keyboard.
Right, they are. Was a spelling mistake here? All right. We wrap things up with Garbage Time next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. People are venting about the Astros, who just lost 4-1 to the St. Louis Cardinals. They have tomorrow off. They play the Padres at Minute Maid starting on Friday. All sorts of sarcasm. Scott Bone comments on YouTube. At least Christian Walker had a great game today. He only struck out once. Well, that's true. Cam Smith had 2 strikeouts. I don't get resting players, even if it's scheduled, when they're primarily the designated hitter. I don't get doing that with Yordan. After he had a home run last night, don't you want him to get going? I get it. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Really, the only thing I'd second guess today is like, why isn't Yordan playing the day after he gets a home run? And I think you kind of see just how difficult things are for that lineup. I'd be interested to see Jeremy Peña again in the 2 spot. Peña's at least been showing some power. But like, there's been very little to get excited about with the Astros offense to this point.
Yeah, and about the Alvarez thing, especially they have a off day tomorrow too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, good point.
Why isn't this guy playing?
Son of a biscuit. Someone said Dyke and not Minute Maid. Kiss my ass. The Astros haven't bribed me on the text.
No, or Dyken. If Dyken wants to send us some swag, the company.
I bought an air conditioning unit from Dyken.
Oh, really?
And they have still not asked me to be a sponsor.
Wow.
It costs a lot of money. Where's my sponsorship? I actually even emailed them. I was like, want me to endorse you? And they were like, who are you? Oh, you're the guy who got into it with a parking lot attendant at an Astros game last year? We're not going to let you back in our ballpark, you son of a bitch. All right, garbage time real quick.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
The Pittsburgh Pirates trying to get things going for them as they are off to a very Pittsburgh Pirates start. They're 6-12 in last place in the NL Central. What a surprise. Are bringing back fightin' necklaces. You ever heard of these? A fightin' necklace is supposedly something that actually makes you have better health levels. This was technology from a couple of years ago where they found that metal titanium dissolved into water using brand new technology called aqua titanium, when worn on a body, would increase a person's health levels. Why? Because there's technology that involves metals broken down into microscopic particles dissolved in water. AI gave me a very confusing explanation of this, but the Pirates are so desperate to get things going, they are wearing fighting necklaces. Why haven't the Astros done this yet? That's the only question I have.
I think it's something to look at. But yeah, I remember back in the day, everyone wore those.
Everything should be on the table. Did you ever wear one?
No.
I never wore one. I saw this and I was like, poop shell necklaces. Bring them back.
Maybe I did have one. I forgot. But it was definitely what everyone on my 6th grade baseball team had.
That's true.
That they were selling like hotcakes there.
I wore a chain for the first time in my life this weekend.
Oh, how'd it go?
A necklace. Well, it works.
There we go.
So I might be a chain guy now.
Wow.
I don't know if I had the complexion to pull it off. And no offense to our Italian friends out there. Generally, I feel like wearing a chain is an Italian move if you're a white guy. I think I'm going to be a chain guy now.
Wow. 36. Chain guy.
We're changing it up. And on that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to you, the listener, our texters, our callers, our YouTubers, and Twitchers. I am merely Paul Gallant. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you'll be back tomorrow. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.